to help us understand it. Father, we pray that your Son would speak to us with that voice that wakes the dead. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" I'd like us to think about those verses from Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 to 17. And there's no question in the whole Bible more important than this question. Who do you say the Son of Man is? Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? Who is this man? It's an ultimate question. It's the greatest question you could ever ask. The Bible says to know him is life eternal. Do you know him? What do you know of Jesus Christ? You're confronted this morning with this question: who do you say that I am? The New Testament, it provides us with a remarkable picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he's not merely a teacher. He's not merely another prophet. He's not a philosopher. He's not a revolutionary. He's so much more than all of that. He is God, manifest in the flesh. He is divine. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is unchanging in his being. He's not simply a teacher. He is God himself. He is the answer to all the problems of life. He is the meaning of life. You see, we're not dealing with someone who is different from God, but the man who by very nature is God himself. This Jesus of Nazareth who passes through the cities and the villages of Galilee and wanders into Jerusalem, who was condemned and crucified and killed, this man is Jehovah God. Do you know him? He is God of God. He is light of light. He is infinite, eternal, and changing, infinite. He is equal with the Father and the Spirit. He is the one by whom all things were made, the one in whom all things hold together. And for our sake, he came down from heaven into this world, and he assumed our nature, and he took a body like our own, and he dwelt among us. And he went to the cross, and he died our death, and he was crucified, and he was buried, and a great stone was rolled in front of his tomb. But he's not dead. The third day he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and he sat down at the hand of the Father on high, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom shall have no end. Who do you say that I am? My friends, this is Jesus. And all of that is captured in Peter's declaration: "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The disciples, we find them with the Lord Jesus in Caesarea Philippi. And there they worship the pagan deity, Peneus. And they also worship the imperial cult of Rome. And Jesus comes to Caesarea Philippi, to this particular place at this particular time, and he says, "Not these gods. Who do you say I am? Not Rome, not some Greek god. Who do people say the Son of Man is?" You see, his behavior is audacious. It's radical. He was challenging the gods of Rome. He was challenging the imperial cult. And that's what he does, you see. His claims are radical. His claims are exclusive. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, it's not every way to God, but one way. Christ the Lord. He says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. All the gods of this world, they pale into nothingness beside him. And he comes to Caesarea Philippi and he was recognized by Simon Peter and by his disciples to be the Messiah, to be the Christ, to be the Son of God himself. And so you this morning, my friend, are confronted with this great question. Who do you say that I am? You believe that Jesus was a real man. You believe that he was a good man. You believe that he was a prophet, that he was a teacher. You believe that he was an activist. You think of him turning the tables over in the temple and you nod the head. Well, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe he was a real person, you see. In fact, do you believe that he's God? Do you believe that he is the Christ? Have you fallen on your knees in repentance and faith? Said, you are my Lord. And you are my God. You can't sit on the fence. You've been confronted with this great dichotomy. Either Jesus is God or he's not. Where do you stand? Perhaps you're not convinced. You feel that it's not that simple. You like these disciples, and there's this confusion. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they say, well, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Who is this Jesus? Is he a reincarnation of the prophet Elijah, or a Jeremiah reborn? Is he the Baptist raised from the dead? Who is he? Who is this Jesus? And there were all sorts of questions and all sorts of puzzles about him. Who is this man that heals the sick and gives sight to the blind and life to the dead? Who is this preacher with such wisdom, such authority? Who is this great teacher? Who is this man that fed the 5,000 and walked upon the water? Is he a king? Is he come to bring a new millennium? You know, people still puzzle about him like that today, don't they? Is he a great teacher? Is he a philosopher? Is he a moralist? Is he a hero? Is he a superman? Is he a man of God consciousness? Is he a man of enlightenment? Is he the example of a godly life? Who is Jesus Christ? And we must seriously consider this. We must seriously consider the claims of the New Testament. If you read the Gospels, my friend, if we believe that Jesus was a real man, then we must surely be willing to take up and read the New Testament. To read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. You say that you're willing to explore these ideas. Then consider the claims of Christ. He claims to be the Son of Man. That's a messianic title from the book of Daniel. This is what the prophet Daniel said. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming. And he came before the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples of every nation and every language might serve him. That's the Son of Man. Before the Ancient of Days, before his Father in heaven, that is Jesus Christ. The one who would come in the flesh to save. The one who would redeem a people of every tribe, of every tongue, of every nation, of every language. Do you know him? And you know his claim to be the Son of Man is but one of many, isn't it? Luke says that he is Christ the Lord. Matthew's Gospel says that he is Emmanuel, God with us. John says that he is the Word, that he was in the beginning with the Father, that he is one with God, that he is the creator of all things. The Apostle Paul says that he is the image of the invisible God, that he is the firstborn of all creation, that he is the creator of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, that he is the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact imprint of his nature, that he is co-equal and co-eternal with God. Jesus himself says, I and my Father are one. He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He says, before Abraham was, I am. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. He says, I am the light of the world. Do you know him like this? Do you love him? He spoke as one who had authority. He walked upon the water of Galilee. He fed 5,000. He preached the Sermon on the Mount. He opened the eyes of the blind and he healed the sick and he cured the leper and he turned water into wine and he raised the dead and he broke the chains of death himself and he rolled the stone away and he rose in glory and in might. The one who had been crucified and dead and buried and he appeared in the flesh to doubting Thomas. And he was seen by many witnesses, according to the scriptures. You know him. We're confronted with this great question, who do you say that I am? See, the foolish thing that people say. They say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, as a philosopher, as a good man. But I can't accept his claim to be God. You know, I have a friend at university who says that. He's from Prague. He learned to speak Welsh. Incredible. And this is what he says about Jesus. Oh, he was a good man. But a man who said and did the sort of things that Jesus did and said would not merely be a good man. C.S. Lewis said he would either be a lunatic on the same level as a man who claims to be a poached egg, or else he would be as evil as the devil himself, or he would be God. He's either mad, or he's bad, or he's God. He's either a liar or lunatic, or he's the Lord of heaven and earth. He either deceived mankind as a conscious fraud, or he was himself deluded and self-deceived, or he was and he is exactly who he claims to be, the Son of the living God. Do you know him? Do you serve him? Have you bowed the knee to him? Do you worship him? Do you love him? Do you adore him? I said in my prayer that he is the lily of the valley, that he is the rose of Sharon, that he is the altogether lovely one, that he is gracious and gentle and meek and merciful and kind, that he is loving. I said also that his eyes blaze with fire and his feet are like burnished bronze and his voice is the roar of many waters and in his hand he holds 7 stars. And the calling of the gospel is that we bow the knee to him. We come in repentance. And we come in faith. Who do you say that I am? You know, the striking thing here is that Jesus isn't talking to non-Christians. He's talking to his disciples. Who do you say that I am? You of all people. You followed me. You've seen me work wonders. You know, it's easy for a preacher to lecture a congregation on the great doctrines of the Bible, but it's far greater challenge to encourage people to think for themselves, to make disciples. You know, nobody fell down from heaven as a systematic theologian. You had to learn. You had to study. You had to read the Bible. You had to engage your mind. You had to think. And yet, far too often we come to church as consumers. Oh, that was a good sermon. Feed me, preacher. No, that's not how it's to be, my friend. The Apostle Paul, he says that you're to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Have you done that? Every thought. The Bible says that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all of our mind. And so this is why Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, "Who do you say that I am? Do you know me? Do you understand me?" What do we think of Jesus Christ? Who do we understand him to be? We are his disciples. We are Christians. We profess to follow him. Do we know why he's come into this world? Do we know why he went to the cross? Do we know why he died? Do we know why he rose again? Do we know what that means? Do we know how incredible it is? Do we know how awesome this message is? Do we know how life-changing and profound and divine this message is? The Apostle Paul, he said, "My greatest desire is to know him." You know, it deeply troubles me when I hear Christians saying, "Oh, that's for non-Christians." No, this is for you, my friends. This is for you. And the calling of the gospel is to preach Christ and him crucified. Paul says, "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, to become like him in his death, that by any means possible I might attain the resurrection from the dead." That's Paul. I want to know Christ. Do you want to know him, my friends? Is that our Christianity? You can imagine the disciples and they're in a group hug. They're discussing this question. The stakes are high. Jesus is listening. And Peter draws the short straw and they push him to the front. And he's shaking inside. And he's thinking, "I wish I'd listened more." And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, it's a remarkable answer. Peter's a fisherman. He's not a theologian. He's not educated. But he's got it. And he's got it, not because of anything in him, but because of what God has revealed to him. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You see, why doesn't the natural man believe? Because this message comes from above. God must change you. God must open your heart. God must open your mind. And this is a message that has driven the church for 2,000 years. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, the Messiah, it means the anointed one, the Christ. And it refers to those offices in the Old Testament of prophet, priest and king. And the incredible thing about our Lord Jesus Christ is that he's all three in one. And when you believe in him, you get a prophet, and you get a priest, and you get a king, all in one. And as our prophet, he reveals to us by his word and through his spirit the will of God for our salvation. And as our priest, he offered himself once and for all to satisfy divine justice upon the cross. And as our king, he rules over us, and he subdues us, and he defeats all of our enemies. And he puts them under his feet, sin and death and hell. See, he's incredible, isn't he? Prophet, priest and king. Our Messiah, our Christ. Not only is he the Christ, he's the Son of the living God. I always find it helpful to turn that around. He's the Son of God, he's God the Son. You see, he's the second person of the Holy Trinity. In Christ, eternity steps into time. The immense being of God comes into this world. The unchanging into this changing world. It's incredible. The hymn writer says, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, our God contracted to a span, ineffably made man." See, he is very God, the very God, and he is very man, and those two natures, divine and human, are found in one person. And upon that depends all of our salvation, my friends. It is because he is God that he is mighty to save. And it's because he is man that he is gentle to sympathize. And he urges us. And he calls upon us to come to him. To trust in him. To believe upon his word. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, he's never let anybody down. And there's nobody beyond redemption. You might think that you're the worst sinner in the world. But Jesus can save you. How does that hymn go? The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. That's why he came. Not the righteous, he said. Not the righteous. I have come to call sinners to repentance. He's come for broken people. He's come for ruined people. He's come for sorry people. He hasn't come for the religious. He hasn't come for the Pharisee. He's come for the down and out. He's come for the finished. He's come for the vilest offenders. And he's come to save, and he calls upon you to trust in him, to believe in him. He doesn't ask you to jump through 1,000 hoops. He doesn't ask you to keep 1,000 laws. He says, he that believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe? Do you trust in him? My friend, time is short, isn't it? Should that string of life break and death come sweeping upon you, then you'll stand before a holy God. Are you ready to die? My friend, be sure you are. Be found in Christ, the Son of the living God. The poet, didn't he, Dylan Thomas, he said, do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. But he didn't. He died without Christ. My friend, don't be like that. Don't be without Christ in death. Don't be without him in life. For today is the day of salvation. Today is the appointed time. And today his mercy is offered to you in the gospel. And come to him, where mercy may be had. Amen. Amen. We'll sing to God's praise our closing hymn, number 171. Jesus, the name high over all. Hymn number 171.